Hi, my name is Anne Stone, and I'm reading from a new novel, Delibole, released this April 2007 from Insomniac Press. Delibole's the story of two sisters growing up on the margins of Toronto in the 1980s, rocker girls. The younger of the sisters, Melora Sprague, tells the story because her older sister has vanished, and that leaves Melora to make sense both of their world and of her older sister's disappearance. In this, the first chapter, Melora's recalling a childhood game that the two sisters used to play, one that has taken on new resonance since her sister has disappeared. Lying on my back, a handful of dirt in my mouth. Lying on my back, very still, and the dirt inside my mouth is the same as the dirt beneath me. This is my first and most lasting taste of devotion, the sensation against which I measure all other increments of love. My sister kneels beside the body. Her hands move with the delicacy of clockwork. The air is still and cool, and the sky is a soft and wintry blue. September. My sister places one twig and then another inside of my open mouth. In 2 days, she will be 9, and then most of a year will have to pass before we're the same. Though to Melissa, there's a world of difference between 8 and a bit and nearly 9. It's an old game, a game even dogs can play. I am playing dead, and my sister fills my mouth with dirt and broken twigs and tiny rocks. Only if I believe I'm dead, truly dead, will I not flinch. My mouth is open to each small indignity her fingers offer up. A few little girls gather around us. Melissa shushes them and demands they lower their heads. One of them, Carly, has a look about her that Melissa likes, and she lets that special one sit next to her as she attends to me. Three or four little girls, enthralled by the mystery of a body at rest, form a tiny cabal, gather the heads of dead grass gone to seed. Melissa tells them the dried seeds are my medicine. I take tiny breaths through my nose, concentrate on my chest, which must remain still and flat and unmoving until Melissa's ready for me to be saved. Melissa's fingertips trace my eyelids, my cheeks. We are at the center of another world entirely, a world where seeds of grass, leached out to the color of sand, restore life. Melissa clears the dirt and twigs from my mouth and, whispering over the shut-eye seeds, places them on my tongue. My eyes are closed, but I can feel her eyes moving over me. Delicious shivers course through my skin. I don't want to be brought back. I want to lie here forever. My sister places the last of the seeds on my tongue and waits for the miraculous rebirth, but I don't come back to her. I won't come back. She traces her fingers against my eyelids and, covering my face from view, brutally pinches my nose, and I gasp and choke, undeniably alive. It's an impressive performance, and my sister looks grim but pleased. I turn my back and hork up gravel and dirt, pick the grit from my teeth. The little girls have already forgotten me and turn all of their attention to Melissa, the source of this wondrous gift. They gasp and beg, "Me please, me please." Each wants to lie down in the soft light of Melissa's eyesight and, like Sleeping Beauty, display the still repose of a well-attended corpse. Melissa collects these kindergarten girls like the dolls they are, trussed up in floral designs and bussed in from the western verge of the sog. Newly brought back from the dead, I kick at the dirt with my Kodiaks, and two of the little girls, sisters, cry out and fuss over pink knee socks and black patent leather shoes. "Let's do something else now," I beg Mel. "Look at them, they're dressed for church." "You didn't complain when they were at your funeral," she says. The sisters' immaculate shoes dusted off, they press up to Melissa and beg in earnest, drawing please out for a full 2 syllables or shooting out pleases so quickly in succession that their tiny mouths sound off like a lit string of lady fingers. I squat on a patch of dirt, close my eyes, and try to reach into Melissa with my thoughts. Choose me. Choose me.